Hey, Oncers, welcome back. Hope you had a great turkey day. We're here for season
6, episode 9, The Changelings. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
In the 3 seconds it took for us to start the show, I forgot we were starting with this version of the song, so it kind of scared me for
a second.
Wait
a minute, what's happening?
I was waiting for like, da-doom.
We should do like a Night at the Roxbury open,
This is the head.
Are we in sync?
This is just, oh yeah, the strobe lights are going. This just feels like a Disneyland parade.
Oh my gosh.
Mix, you know? All right, hello everyone. Welcome back. We're happy to be here. I'm Tiana Hobson, and joining me as always is Roxy Stryer.
Hey guys, I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. I feel like the 1 week off felt like 2 years off.
Yeah.
Felt like
a
thank goodness we're back.
Seriously.
Dakota T. Jones?
What's up, guys? It's Dakota T. Jones. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
Professor Serafini.
Hello, everyone. Yes, you can follow me on Twitter at Serafini TV.
That was really cool.
That was great.
Professor!
I will never be able to do that again in my entire life.
I'll take this one amazing time.
One thing.
Luckily, somebody caught it on camera.
Yes. It will live forever.
Perpetuity.
But Roxy, I agree with you. It felt like we were gone for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
I felt like we had a whole summer break in between these last few episodes.
It's so strange because when we actually have winter break or summer break, I go back and I rewatch all the episodes so I can catch up. And when I was going to watch this one tonight, I was like, oh, I have to rewatch all the episodes. And I was like, wait a second. My brain can't possibly be that bad that I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. Like, come on. But it really felt, well, I don't know why.
Yeah.
This time, a lot of too much turkey, maybe.
Too much turkey.
Maybe. A lot of stuffing.
Something on the brain.
Yeah, I was going to try and find a transition there and nothing sounded appropriate.
Yeah,
so.
I get that. I just really like turkey and stuffing. Just
okay.
Anyway, I'm
we'll
not
send
helping
you packages.
You
no,
this
you're not.
Episode was
I like gravy too.
Stuff.
Oh, yeah, there we
good.
Go, Marissa.
Or hey-o. Belle's belly was stuffed this episode.
Oh.
Roxy
didn't
whole
like
episode.
It.
Part
Roxy
of the episode.
Like
should have just left it be.
I should have left
just
it.
Just let it be, Dakota. It's okay. All right, so let's talk about this episode. We got a lot of Rumple and Belle.
Mm-hmm.
A lot
of Rumple and Belle. And we're going to start by talking about these flashbacks that we saw when Rumple just comes home with a baby.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they showed us these flashbacks that this took up so much of the episode. Yay.
Roxy was a big fan of this episode.
Oh, totes.
No, I loved parts of the episode. The Belle Rumple stuff, you guys know, if they're not endgame, then we need to stop spending time on them. Not on them individually, but on them as a couple. And that's what this whole backstory was. It was cool, actually, what we got out of Rumple's story. I was happy to hear about that Black Fairy. Mm-hmm. But the whole Rumple Belle, will they, won't they? We know that they don't. So, come on.
Move
so
on.
You think it's totally, like, 100% done with them, probably?
No, I don't, which is the annoying part of it all. It's like, they should definitely be done. If this show decides to make a statement where they end up back together, that is supporting an incredibly abusive relationship.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, I think my issue was that we didn't need this backstory to believe that Rumple is trying to make do and make well for his next child. We didn't need another secondary story where, like, we get he just wants to redeem himself and have a better and a second chance to have a better life with a son or, like, with any kid. We didn't need the story to convince us that, to already tell us what we already knew.
We've been watching this show for many years now. We were pretty sure we understand at this point who Rumple is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I feel the same way, Marissa. What?
So you guys...
Where's that noise coming from?
Oh, is it my computer?
Oh.
Oops, my bad. Like, I was just so excited to listen to what you guys had to say. I wanted to hear it twice.
She's like tuning in. She's like,
yeah,
I'm watching
tuning in
this
live.
Right now.
We look real good.
Good. All right, I'm
so
glad.
Good, guys. So let's just talk a little bit about this whole Black Fairy scenario. So Rumple comes home with this baby who... And thank you, Ivan, for reminding me of this. In the description of the episode that you read before you watch, it says that it's the baby of Jack and Jill. But there's no reference to the baby being Jack and Jill's child in the episode.
I would not have gotten that.
Wait.
At all.
Jack and Jill are brother and sister, I thought.
Wait, hold on, hold on.
Jack and Jill who went up the hill.
The baby that Rumple was going to give to the Black Fairy was Jack and Jill's baby.
Yes, that is what the description of the episode said when we first turned it on, and I caught that, and I meant to go back and reread it, and then Ivan Soto in the chat, he's been saying it, and I was like, oh yeah, I have to remember to talk about this, because there was no way for the regular viewer to connect that.
Because maybe they decided it was that, and then somebody was like, that's incestual, cut that part.
And they forgot to update the description.
Yeah.
But seriously, though, they're brother and sister, I thought.
Yvonne Soto, Jack and Jill went up the hill and had a baby.
They did more than just get water from that well.
I hope she had the baby before she fell down the hill, or else, you know, there was just...
Not only did they tumble, but they did something else, too.
I mean, maybe that's what they were calling tumbling.
That's what the tumble down the hill was.
Because they dropped the pail.
Wait, why do we think that they're siblings? Jack and Jill went up a hill, catch a pail of water, and Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Why do we think they're siblings?
I thought it was a story. I could have sworn I've seen like some kind of a thing.
You might be thinking of Hansel and Gretel.
No.
No?
No, there was a terrible movie with Adam Sandler, Jack and Jill.
Oh my gosh. That's probably why, which probably has nothing to do with it.
I think pop culture just evolutionized them.
Yeah,
as
I think
siblings.
It was just an assumption because they were supposed to be young. It's a nursery rhyme.
Right.
But they were Cory and Topanga, so maybe this was their kid.
This was
I need to know more.
I just feel like you can't mention that it's Jack and Jill's child in the description and then give us nothing in the episode.
How did we not explore that?
That would have been
so
great.
Glad
that
would have
been so much
that.
Better to discuss. That it would have awesome. Given yeah, a whole new meaning. But instead, We get a new thing. The Black Fairy is introduced to us. The Black Fairy used to be someone who came and protected children, and then she turned dark and evil and started taking babies. And so Rumple, for some reason, is trying to get her to manifest. And we learn the reason why is because that's his mama. So not only is Peter Pan his evil Peter Pan, his dad, but the black evil fairy is his mom. This poor kid never had a chance.
He never had a chance. This guy has been messed up since the start.
Right. And it's not just the father who abandoned him. It's the mother, too. So you understand why Rumple has abandonment issues.
And did we ever talk about his mom? Because I guess I just was under the assumption that his mom had died and that's why she wasn't. Part of his life or anything.
Do you guys ever remember them ever mentioning anything about the mom at all? Because I feel like they never did. They never gave us any kind of hint, so we just assumed that she was dead.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about her much, but I was excited for them to bring her up. It got us away from the Belle part. It was more about Belle saving the kid, not about their relationship. And I thought that it was interesting that Rumple was so curious about where he came from, you know, because we've just seen him as evil. And if you're just evil, then you don't really care what your past is. But he still clearly holds on to that. Mm-hmm. And that's where the black spot originated. So
I feel like we'll probably end up finding out more about this whole Jack and Jill child thing. Because did we ever see in the flashbacks what happened to the kid in the end, like where he went? Because
Belle took the kid back
to the parents.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there is closure there.
They don't say anything, and you barely see their faces. So like they could be recasted into real Jack and Jill.
Last thing, speaking of the kid, Lindsay in the chat said this. She said, "Didn't you guys sing Jack and Jill went up the hill to have a little fun? Stupid Jill forgot the pill, and now they have a son."
Wait, who said that?
First of all, Lindsay in the chat. I love this chat so much. Which, by the way, no, I never sang that growing up. But is that a thing? Because
that's amazing.
I was a very good child.
You should be
a
comedian.
Not that way.
Yeah. I love you, Lindsay.
That's incredible. I don't know how to follow that.
Yeah.
But I think what I did like about probably the only thing I could take away from this flashback was that the fact that fairies aren't all good. There's a black fairy, and she's still around. At least
she could
like what we've led to believe that she's still alive.
I was excited about that though, because I thought that number one, she seemed talented as an actress. I loved the range, her giggle, and then just the way she flipped from being scared to good to all those things. She was gorgeous. She's got an interesting backstory, I'm sure. So I hope she is still around and we get to figure out what is it. And do we just think that she is evil, or did she have the same kind of story as Rumple? Does it come from somewhere, or was it Pan that kind of how did they even meet?
I mean, was she always a fairy when she met Rumple's dad? Like, do you just become a fairy? Like, do fairies fall in love with regular humans and have babies like this normally?
I don't know. I feel like maybe this is like an early prediction, but maybe they need to call the mom back to help her defeat Rumple with them, so then that way they can bring the baby back.
Maybe. Got to do something with Neverland, right? Like, we've got to go something over there.
Yeah, something with Pan.
Mm-hmm. But where was she taking the babies when she was stealing, the Black Fairy was stealing babies?
Yeah, what is she doing with
maybe
the babies?
Maybe Neverland. Maybe she was taking the kids. Maybe
they're the lost kids.
The lost
children.
That's a good prediction, too.
Quite possible. We kind of came up with it all together. Good work, guys.
So pretty much, teamwork. We don't have to watch any of the other episodes because we have it all down.
But yeah, we just wrote out the winter finale for them. Mm-hmm.
They should be giving us some compensation for coming up with the ideas.
But it also shows that Rumple comes from magic.
Yes, that's like, what I was thinking, too. He's a product of magic. We don't know if it was... it probably wasn't necessarily true love, but he is a...
Like, magic is in his family.
Which is crazy, because if both of his parents were magical, and they had him, and he was kind of like the kind of crippled, kind of, he has the cane and everything, he wasn't anything special until he became the Dark One. So I wonder why them having him, he wasn't born with magic. You know what I'm saying? Because he was kind of just like a regular dad,
or coward. He always had it in him, and then he didn't become magical until he had the dark powers, then he tapped into it.
Maybe. Because you know what I'm saying? He was a very regular, ordinary guy whenever we saw him.
Yeah, coward.
He was a coward.
Interesting stuff, guys.
Interesting. I like where this is going. There's so many little things that they can do with the Black Fairy, so I do hope that we
But this was see so more much more interesting more. Than Belle.
It was so I know. More
but this is why Cassie in the chat says, you would think that Belle would be a bit more forgiving of Rumple's evil nature after learning firsthand that he was abandoned by his mother. Come on, man.
No.
Are you kidding me?
No.
At some point, that has to stop being an excuse. Yeah. I think she was very forgiving of his evil nature. She'd been forgiving for years and years across different lands. Like, are you... Ugh.
And technically, Emma was abandoned by both of her parents as well. We don't see her being all evil, except for that one little section of episodes last season or whenever she's the Dark Swan.
Again, it's I don't think it's just the magic that defines your evil, it's your actions and the means in which you go about. That's why Zelina's evil, that's why Rumple is evil. They've been tasked with all these things and put them in front of them, and they constantly choose bad. And that's what makes them mean. It's their evil ways. It's the means of how they do it. Mm-hmm. They can easily be good, but they decide bad.
This is interesting, too. Holly says both parents chose power over the love of their son, just like Rumple did to Bay, which is true.
Just like a timeline.
Apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Far from the tree. And let's talk about his newest son. So back in the real world, well, present day, Rumple is going around, showing off the same pixie dust magical stuff that Emma used last season to expedite Zelina's pregnancy. And so it's like, oh, crap. He's going to do the same thing to Belle. We have to stop this. But then I was like, do we, though? Because, homegirl hasn't even started showing yet, and I'm kind of getting sick of hearing about her pregnancy and not seeing her
She's
pregnancy.
Been pregnant forever.
This whole season. Like
but it. In the timeline of the events, it's probably been, 2 weeks, since she's been back awake. Just as a viewer, I'm just like, look, when you start saying you're pregnant, I need to start seeing a belly, because if you... Then I'm going to start thinking you're making the whole thing up just to keep the man or something. I don't know.
And you know what I think? Because I think, honestly, they made this a very good storyline, but at the same time, this is the second pregnancy they're doing with this on the show. I feel like they're like, you know what, instead of having to have her wear like a big old pregnancy thing for 2 seasons or however long it takes to cover 9 months, like, they're probably just like, let's just get this baby out, so then that way we don't have to worry about constantly making the belly sack bigger for Belle to wear,
for
all
the
that
actor
kind of stuff, for the actress. Yeah,
I get it, but like, it's also the second time we're using the same way out of
a situation. And also, if you think about it, it's 2 seasons back to back they're using this kind of story. It's like, let's choose something original.
And she was pregnant last season in real life.
They could have done it then.
You could have totally used it now. So I get that now that she's not pregnant in real life, we don't need to have the pregnancy storyline here. But
yeah, she's probably like, I've already been pregnant for 9 months. Please not make me wear something else for however many seasons.
Yeah.
But the first time this induced labor happened, it was with some onion rings. The second time it was through this tea. So basically,
don't eat at Granny's when you're pregnant.
Or all don't, food yeah. is...
Yeah. Dodgy.
There's no way she knew, right?
No.
Granny?
I don't think so.
When she was serving the tea?
No, I don't think Granny knew.
Because it was the evil queen who,
I thought the evil queen had disguised herself as Granny and walked over
I thought it was that.
I was wondering
why. Because I was yelling at the screen. I was like, that's At that point, I thought it was actually Rumple who was disguised as Granny.
Interesting. But
wouldn't it be a weird twist if Granny was all of a sudden like, I'm sick and tired of being good.
Screw it.
Evil Queen,
things.
Give me that stuff. I'm going to put it in the chamomile, though.
Maybe Granny overhearing her talk about this baby, too. Maybe Granny was like, you know what? I'm over it here.
She's like, let's see
baby
this
be
girl.
Gone. That's like, what we're going to start calling it. It's baby be gone.
Yeah. Like, let's see if this girl really is pregnant. Let's see in there. Oh my gosh.
But, you know, along the way of this pregnancy thing, we do get a couple incidences of Rumple and Belle together having the same talk they've had a million times.
You're the beast. Be better than that or you'll lose me forever.
Technically this talk does stop him from drugging her. He is not the one responsible for this. We find out later that the Evil Queen did it, and their little talk in the elevator, which, I'm sorry, I know that we bash on Belle a lot, but it really, really, really bugged me when they were in the library and she was trying to escape and she went to the elevator when elevators specifically say, in the event of an emergency, do not use me because doors don't close fast enough, like, you could get stuck. I was like, girl, why are you running to... There's got to be a staircase somewhere, like...
The door is right
the
there.
The door is right there. Like, why are you running to an elevator?
Because the elevator goes down to nowhere good, we know, clearly.
Every
time that we ever go down the elevator, it's like a hellhole down there, like, with some dragon or something or other. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, Belle.
Come on, Belle.
I love you, but run out the door. You know, get help instead of going down into the fiery lair.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that Belle's little pup tops with Rumple, you think that at this point they wouldn't really have any sort of effect on him, but somehow it still does. And then you'd also think that, hey, Rumple, you're smart enough to figure out that she's playing you how you're playing the Evil Queen. Like, it's like a vicious little circle that they've got going on here, but he's not.
To even think of them as a love triangle in any way is just...
Not a love triangle, just like he's using the Evil Queen, Belle's using him. Like, they're playing the same game with these people who want them, but they want someone else.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta get out.
Gotta get out of this never-ending circle.
It's just annoying that Belle has to keep having these speeches with Rumple to stop him and try to change his ways. It's like, dude, girl, you've done this so many times. It's not changing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was funny.
And like the fact that like she's sorry, not to cut it out, but like the fact that like she's still, it still sounds like she's trying to convince herself that there's some hope at the end.
Right.
There's not.
Well, I don't know whether she's doing that or trying to just convince him of it so that he doesn't hurt her. I hope it's the latter, you know, because if she really believes that there could be future for them, come on.
Yeah, but like even the one line, which was completely ironic, and when Rumple, not to jump ahead, but Rumple was like, I would never hurt you. It was like, yes, you did.
Emotionally, over and over again.
Yeah. Constantly. I was like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she keeps claiming, I'm totally done with you. This is, you know, it's never going to work out. And then she said, if you ever have a glint of hope for us, you know, why would you do this? And you guys were all like, oh my gosh, like you literally just said there's never any hope.
Yeah.
Well, it's then just, that's why I say it's that vicious cycle of that's exactly kind of the bait that he put in the Evil Queen's mind of, you know, if you want us to be together, this is what you have to do. And so Belle's doing the same thing, playing the same mind game with him by using her love. I also loved the dreams that she had with her son.
Those are awesome.
That's great.
I hate when people are cryptic to me, because when you tell me it's right in front of you, you know what you have to do.
No.
I'm always like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, just tell me if you know the
answer. Yeah, if you know the answer, just tell me the answer.
Yeah, why does it have to be so riddle me this?
But I knew
that.
Exactly what it was. I knew the whole time, which is surprising for me. But I could tell, and it's heartbreaking to see what happened. Especially because now she's like bonded with 20-something-year-old version of her son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's really tough, who, by the way, has an accent. So I don't know why that is.
Maybe it has to do with where he grew
up. Yeah, exactly.
I was thinking either that or the show just thinks that if you have a kid, they adopt your accent as well.
Or
well,
you know what?
I mean, both of his parents have accents. So being raised in a house with accents.
Raised in that house.
He might get taken to Neverland, though. Because, like, don't they all have, like, English accents? Like, Peter Pan and everything?
But why do you think he's taking them? You think Blue's going to take him to Neverland?
I don't think she will, but I think someone might intercept or something.
Like Black Fairy.
Like the Black Fairy and be like, I want this child, and then take him, and he might be a lost boy, and then we might go back to Neverland, which I would love.
So then what's going to happen if that happens is that Belle and Rumple are going to have to join together, and they're going to have to find their son, and they're going to fall back in love while finding their son and getting him back from Neverland, where Pan somehow magically is back again.
I have a complete... completely different prediction for the Black Fairy's use, but I'm going to save it for the end of the episode and not the middle of it.
Because that's what we do.
Then I might not find out, think of anything else to say for predictions.
Okay.
But it was interesting, too, that I forget what I was going to say, so I'm just going to try. So Blue taking Gideon, that was his name, right? So it's kind of like is this like a Sleeping Beauty thing? Because Belle also gives her the book and tells her to read to him. So is Blue like gone with this child? Is she staying with the child, or was she just supposed to find somewhere safe for him to live with
supposed
like new
parents?
Stay.
She said, will you stay with this child? Which is so rude to ask somebody to do. That's because at this point, Blue can't say no, but it's like, you mean you literally want me to uplift my entire life?
I mean, she literally just asked her to be the fairy godmother as well. She was like, will you be his fairy godmother? And then will you take him away forever and read him this book so he remembers me?
Yeah.
And I was like, Sleeping Beauty. This is so great. At 16, does he get to come back?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, this is Sleeping Beauty all over again. Where are the two other fairies?
Yeah. I was like, yeah. I mean, I hope she knows she shouldn't use magic because that's how they find you.
Mm-hmm.
You're using your magic to bake a cake and
you're
getting
so
a fight.
You're so smart, T.
Just saying.
Except this time it would be a guy, because Gideon and everything. So it would be like the Sleeping Handsome or something.
Oh.
I mean, he could still be a beauty while he sleeps.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Very true.
Or as he grows up in the forest of we don't know where.
A woodland creatures.
I was also sad because, you know, I love when we get Blue around because she seems to be the one with all the answers, especially with everything that happens in Storybrooke. So to take her away now, it kind of gives us one less good person on our side who has the knowledge when we're stumped.
Well, C. Cramblin says Blue will be visiting him, not living with him, but I feel like that's impossible because if Blue comes back, Rumple will kill her.
Oh my gosh, true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or at least torture out of her where the kid is. So I feel like there's no way that Blue's coming back.
And there's not really a way for them to put a protection spell on her, I don't believe, because we see Rumple breaking the protection spell that was around the house, correct?
Well, we saw that Blue put fairy magic around the baby. So the baby is also protected. So Blue can essentially come back without the baby.
This would be really interesting. So Art Master says, I think the blue fairy, but I think they meant black fairy, was in disguise as Blue to grab Belle's baby to get to Rumpelstiltskin.
Oh.
It wouldn't be the first time that someone posed as Blue.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's true.
Because the last time it was with Selena's baby or someone's baby.
Yeah, it's always a baby involved.
There's always a baby
involved. There's always that baby thing involved. And I know that the Evil Queen would like to make a baby with Rumple, but doesn't look like that's going to happen.
Not anytime soon.
But we did get a great sister moment between Zelina and Regina that I know Marissa was ecstatic about
Was down for it.
So my big question here is that the Evil Queen shows up because Rumple tells her, look, you want this. Good. You got to go kill your sister, like I told you to do.
Good. Oh, T.
I mean, he was offering up the good.
You're killing me.
So she was like, "Ooh, I want it. So I'm gonna go kill
my
sister."
Gosh.
Ooh. I don't think anything's good enough to go kill a sibling, full or half. You know, but hey, to each their own. But while this is happening, why didn't Zelina fight back at all?
She didn't. She was just like...
We've seen some great throwdowns between...
I don't think she has the power right now, too.
Does she not have... I mean, it just was so sad because it's like, let's take this outside. And then Regina throws a fireball at her and she's just down for the count. Was like, just kill me now, apparently, because I'm not going to fight you right now. And I'm thinking Zelina would... definitely
would at
fight
least go
for
down
her
with
life.
The fight.
That's
or
so
maybe,
funny.
Marissa, Zelina is changing. And she doesn't want to fight her sister.
No, I think she was just blindsided and she didn't really expect EQ to come kick her ass.
I don't know.
It's so funny to me that you were thinking about why isn't she fighting back, because I was thinking about, girl, that pony is on fleek. Like,
talking about Once Upon a Wee, that was the best hair.
Oh my god. And I'm talking about EQ right now, Evil Queen. Like, that was the
best.
That
is some, like, gorgeous 90s Janet Jackson R&B pony right there that she's rocking, guys.
That was the best pony I've seen in a long time. And I've seen a lot of ponies in my day.
Even the ones that live in the sea.
Yes.
The seahorses.
This is a comment from the chat from Danielle, who says the dynamic between Regina and Zelina is intriguing. While she's willing to sacrifice her own life to save her sister's, she's still incredibly mad and heartbroken over Robin's death. I agree. I'm actually really loving this part of the show. What's going on with Evil Queen, Zelina, Regina? Who's there for who during what times? Who really loves who? Or if it's more complicated than that. I think the show's done a really good job showing us that, you know, it's not all black and white when it comes to sister dynamics.
And I feel like a lot of times they expect us to just be like, oh, we forgive you. Like, you're my sister. Of course I'm going to save you. They could have done the typical, like, stereotypical thing, but they were like, no, like, we're going to make sure everyone knows that, yes, she's a hero, but at the same time, she's never going to forgive her for what she did, because that's just not possible.
But do you think that this will now help their relationship in the whole Zelina kind of going back and forth on which side she's on? Because now she's seen that the evil queen who told her, you're my sister, we're in this together no matter what, I would never turn my back on you, literally came to kill her.
Yeah.
And Regina was the one who was willing to
save her.
Save her.
Yep.
So do we think that now Zelina might actually stay on Team Good over here? Or
I think so.
I think she'll try to make her way to Team Good.
But Marissa won't accept her.
Marissa's like...
Well, no. It's not that I won't accept her. It's like, she needs to actively try. That's it. She needs to try, and actually, with every situation that's presented before her, she has to make the active decision to choose good.
Marissa, I think this one might piss you off a little bit.
Riley says,
Regina made me sad. She didn't go there to save Zelina. She wanted something from her. Felt bad for Zelina.
Yeah, but, you know, we've talked about that in our after shows. Like, every time... Like, Regina should just go over as a sister and have those moments. And, like, I'm glad that they're self-aware that she doesn't do that. But the fact that, yeah, she went over there for an ulterior motive, but she still helped Zelina and save her life. So it's not really, like, the means of what she did to get there. It was what she did once she got there. That's the difference. And I love the whole conversation where Regina was like, but you're not me.
I love that,
exactly.
Too.
And that's what I'm saying. Regina has actively made the decisions to do good things. Therefore, she's redeeming herself. People are forgiving her. She's being good. Zelina hasn't done that.
Maybe all of these talks is, like, actually getting through to her. Like, you know, it took Evil Queen so many seasons to go to the good side.
And just to play devil's advocate on Marissa's end of things, it took Regina a long time to start making those decisions every single time. Mm-hmm. She did... Mm-hmm. fall back on it a few times in the beginning and stuff. So I think it's Zelina.
She had to
we're expecting Zelina to start at a 10 when Regina never was expected to start there. She worked her way there, and I don't think that we're giving Zelina the fair chance.
She never even got there to without killing half of herself. I agree with you.
I agree.
Can any of you guys decipher this comment for me from Joanna in the chat? Maybe the scene between Regina and Zelina demonstrates how it's the evil queen with the empathetic side, not Regina.
I think she's talking about the whole, like, I will pity you, I will feel bad for you, but I'll never forgive you.
But how do we see the evil queen having an empathetic side? She tried to just walk in and kill Zelina.
I don't think it was from
maybe
the
EQ
side.
No, I don't think so. I'm just curious, because a lot of people in the chat are saying they feel really bad for Zelina here, they feel bad for Evil Queen, but they're, so, I don't know. I just like to share. You could chat, are amazing. You deserve to have your voice be heard too. So
The one thing that Rumpel did successfully do in this episode is piss off the Evil Queen to the point of, like, now we've got to worry about the Dark One and the Evil Queen fighting each other in Storybrooke and just making a whole mess of everything, because anyone can get caught in the crossfires of this war that's brewing between the two of them.
They're definitely not working together anymore. They're like two separate sides, like arch enemies, like, totally. It's going to be insane, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, but in a way, that's actually kind of good for the good people, because, you know, you always try to break up an alliance, you know? That's how you attack, is when you, like, isolate people, and they're now isolated. They're vulnerable. You don't, like, now they're emotional, they can make mistakes. A lot of good can come out of this breaking up. I like that.
I think that they should just hook up and get it over with and stay together. Because if you're going to be bad, you might as well be with, like, this dime piece. She's so hot. Okay. She's, like, killing it. She slays. Just give in to the darkness, because it's too late to redeem yourself.
Hey Rumpel, you want a third shot at being a dad? Even Queen's ready for it. Yeah, she's not going to take that baby away from you. You can raise it in evil heavenness. Heavenness isn't a word.
Raise it in hell.
They can just live it, their evil ways out together, raising an evil baby together. I mean, everyone's happy at that point.
This is interesting,
except
too.
Marissa.
Casket fan one. Anybody notice that Regina's red spots in her heart are bigger? So I didn't catch that, but maybe
I noticed there was a lot of red. But like, I also love this. Yeah, I mean, I think there was some dark spots. I wasn't really looking. I was more like, I love the fact that Regina was willing to sacrifice herself. Like, that's how far she's come, that she's willing to literally hurt herself to help other people.
But was it because of that, or because she does say, I mean, this is what heroes do. So was she doing it out of, like, a duty of,
like, pride?
I'm a hero, so I'm supposed to do this? Or did she actually want to do it? Because I think that that is a big part of being a hero, too. It's not that this is what a hero, this is the checklist to being a hero. It's what you want to do in your heart. Like, you have the desire and the drive to do this, to save these people. It's not just, oh, check that box because I walked up and you were about to be killed, so I did what I'm supposed to do.
I mean, I can understand the argument, but the fact that she did this first before she even said, like, oh, this is what good people do, she acted out of goodness and then mentioned it. Okay. So I think it was just the order in which it happened.
Yeah,
that she truly did that because she was doing good.
I think deep down she would love to eventually finally put everything to rest with Selena and be in an okay spot. But I did like the honesty of, you know, I don't think I can forgive you, but I still saved you because you're my sister and I'm a hero. I do think that it's the very, very beginning of maybe a new beginning for them.
Turning a leaf.
Round three for them.
Don't you think? And like, if Robin did ever come back, I feel like then they'd really be able to mend their relationship if Robin ever came back.
Okay. Now we're going to talk about my favorite part, because Team Hooker for Life! Hashtag Hooker
we
for
should,
Life.
Oh my god, we should start hashtagging like this instead of like hook.
Oh, like a hook. Yes,
yes,
love it.
Yes, Hooker.
Okay, so Captain Swan. They're very cute, and they're in love, and it's adorable, and Emma is having visions again of her death, because, as Marissa pointed out from the beginning, oh my gosh, girl, your hand went on the knife, on the sword that killed you.
I pointed it out a minute into the episode. Did anybody hear me?
I said,
it's no, because she just touched that thing.
I only heard Marissa say it, but I was thinking it, too.
Roxy,
so.
I heard you, and I was impressed.
It was so infuriating, because at the end, Marissa said it, and you were like, yeah, and everybody's like, yeah, Marissa, good call, and I'm like...
You're like, I said this so
I
long.
I got this one. I did this one.
Roxy, that
credit.
Was all you.
That was all it Roxy. Was all you. Then. My bad. It was
thank
all
you,
Roxy's.
Thank you. I mean, I'm not one to take credit, so it's
you know. So this
should be calling you Professor Roxy.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
Professor
no.
Stryer.
Oh my god, that's way too much big of a title to take on. No, thank you. I don't want the responsibility of
it's
that.
It's a lot of responsibility. Yeah.
So this sword, it's got this red
jewel
on
bedazzledness.
Yeah, it's bedazzled. So clearly it's a girl sword. No, I'm just so that's the only new information from these visions that we're really getting. And then they break into Gold Shop and find it.
It's kind of like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, though, T, because probably them finding the sword is what's going to make the vision come true.
Oh my god.
Like, if they don't go to find the sword and they aren't in... don't have the sword in their hands, then probably she couldn't get killed by the sword. So it's like now they're actually taking the action steps to make that premonition true.
True. And it's also like now that it's in their possession, I think it's someone that they know that has to get it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Of course. So there was a lot of thoughts in here earlier saying that they think that actually Killian is the one who's there. But I thought we saw Killian.
We've seen Killian like hugging.
Right. People were saying because maybe
Henry.
Or Evil Queen has somebody's heart. But I think that the only people we know who it can't be are her parents, who, by the way, aren't they both there? So one of them's got to wake. So now we know they're both got to be awake by then. Henry and Hook, I think, are the four.
Are
that,
the four people that we see.
I'm pretty sure.
There.
Yeah, because why is no one going up to help? It's just like a battle between the two. Like, why is everyone else sitting around watching? Why aren't they fighting this person too?
See, and that's the thing.
In the vision.
That's why I think it's like it's someone that they know, because they're just so shocked. They're standing there not to do anything.
Ooh, this is interesting. Austin says the sword could be the dark version of Excalibur.
Yeah, that's what I looked at, and I was like, it kind of looks like the Excalibur. It kind of looks like a sword that would be found in Camelot.
Alley Cat Diva, I think they should melt down the sword. That's true. Like, if this is the sword,
and
like,
use it for
let's
what?
Destroy
no,
it.
No, no, just destroy just it so it can't it. Be the thing that kills her.
Right.
You know, change
melt
its form.
It down to yeah. a nice mug. It's all
throw
good.
The
drink out of it.
Throw,
whiskey
throw the
if you
gem
want.
Into the ocean or something, you know? Get rid of all evidence
no,
that it existed.
Do not throw it in the ocean.
Okay, let's open a portal
back.
And
people
put it through a portal.
A lot of thoughts in here. Lindsay says, I like the idea of the Black Fairy being under the hood. Joanna D says, Gideon is under the hood. Interesting thoughts. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Sammy says it's totally Jafar.
We Maybe. Haven't seen Jafar
at yeah. all.
At all.
First
except
episode.
For in flashbacks. So where are you hiding at, Jafar?
Maybe under
but
the hood.
Speaking of
he's
which
he's not the genie.
Yeah, we know he's not the genie.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to tee you up there. You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like I try to help the
yeah,
transition.
It was good. Cool. Thank
it's
you.
A good setup.
Cool. It was a good Thanks. Setup. So Jasmine and Aladdin, you know, they have this lamp and they rub it and out comes the cuffs of the genie because the genie is no longer there.
Yeah.
He or she, because we don't know if it was a girl or a boy.
I think they said him. I think they said
I think they assumed because
and that's
they,
rude because that, we're in 2016 because that genie could have been a female.
It could have been a female.
You don't know. Hillary Clinton could be in there.
Yes, exactly. So the genie is not there. And Aladdin, our former savior, has volunteered to put the shackles on and become the genie himself.
So they put up a little bit of a fight, but not that big of a
no.
fight.
No, they didn't. They were,
Maya,
they were, okay.
You kind of should do this, you know, to redeem yourself.
Yeah, but my one question was, why is everyone, like, tripping when, like, she could wish to be back in Agrabah and then her next wish could be, I wish
to
you
free
your
him.
Freedom.
Exactly.
Because you never, but I think they know with the genie, things never go according to plan, like. Mm-hmm.
But no one even offered that as, like, a solution to yeah. the problem. They're like, well, you know what, you'll find a way out eventually. And I was like, you're going to let him be a genie for hundreds and thousands of years instead of thinking, at least offering, hey, get me to Agrabah and then I'll release you.
Exactly. That's what I was expecting to hear. I was like, all right, that's the next line. Never heard it.
Never came.
Never went. Jasmine was cool with letting him just like be a genie. And yeah, she didn't really say anything. And like, I was so shocked that everyone was just kind of like, don't do that. Okay. Like, they just did not. They were just, like, for it, almost. But, I mean, you know, Jasmine's got to do what she's got to do. But at this point, it's like, you know, we think that there's a connection between them. You'd think that you would be like, okay, look, you're my significant other. I really have these feelings for you. I don't want you to be trapped inside of a bottle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got to think about it. Like, had she done that, the easy route out, their storyline would be done. And we wouldn't see Jasmine and Aladdin or Genie or Jafar anymore of this season.
That's
and we
true.
Obviously, that's the storyline that we're still waiting for. So, like, had they gone that route, it would have been over. So, no, they're going to go the long route. And we're going to see these characters eventually. Maybe they actually do come into play with how Emma dies. Who knows?
But obviously, from scenes from next week, which we'll talk more about in predictions, but this doesn't go according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
Better idea, guys. And I'm not sure if this is possible, but they see that there's cuffs that would lock someone up in being a genie forever. Why not take those cuffs and be like, hey, guys, we got a way to stop the evil queen right here.
Oh, my God.
Put her, yeah.
Like, trick her, put the cuffs on her, and make her the genie.
Well, couldn't we still do that,
and then
maybe?
Lock up the lamp.
Yeah, lock up the lamp.
Maybe we could do that after.
After Aladdin was free.
But, like, why wasn't it, like, hey, guys, we've been looking for a way to stop this woman.
T, they literally didn't take 15 seconds to think about it.
Yeah,
like, they didn't take... You just came up with that in about a minute. They didn't take, like, from the time I started the sentence to the time I just finished was the amount of time that they
that
took.
That they took to figure it out, yeah.
Zero Fs given. Like, they were like, all right, yeah, go ahead, Aladdin. Yeah. That's cool.
See, the problem is, like, it's a great story, the, like, their B-line story, I think it just got so lost in the mess that were the other storylines of this episode. I felt like it would have been more effective if it was placed in a different episode.
I agree. Or this episode, and we had less attention. Elsewhere, like, I'm loving what's going on with the Zelina, Evil Queen, Rumple, not even Rumple, Regina storyline, and I'm loving what's going on with the Jasmine and Aladdin one, so let's just gear our attention there.
Ooh, I like what Holly just said in the chat. Jasmine will free Aladdin with true love's kiss. That's why we haven't seen them kiss yet.
Ooh, I like that.
True love's kiss.
Because they could be like, I wish you freedom, and then he doesn't get it. And then, like, it's okay. And then maybe she'll kiss him. And then, boom, the shackles will fall.
Boom. Mic drop.
Boom.
All right. So I think we've covered just about everything for this episode. Marissa's looking at me like...
I'm having a prediction.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say maybe we should get into predictions. Because we kind of did Once Upon a Weave in the middle of the episode.
That's true. Because it had... Obviously, everybody knew what it was going
to. Everyone knew it was going to the Evil Queen's Janet Jackson here. So let's
do the soundbite. Predictions.
Predictions.
Flashing the lights.
You predicted that.
I did. I called that. I after being at AfterBuzz for six
since
years,
its beginning.
I just called that with predictions the lights would blink. I'm so good.
So
dare
impressed.
Say you could be an oracle.
Yeah.
You could see the future.
Ooh. That's what they call me.
Or you could be Raven Baxter.
Or Cole Roxy.
I mean,
that's
it's
true.
Possible.
That's true.
Which they're doing a
spinoff.
Yeah. Spinoff. And hey, she's going to have
so
two kids.
I'm excited about that.
It's
going to be amazing.
It's going to be so much fun. All right. Anyways, so predictions. I'm thinking that the Black Fairy is going to come back, but it's going to be Gold who enlists her help to help find his son. Because since she steals babies, maybe she can find a way to, like, sense.
Would she help him?
I think that he will find a way to persuade her. Mm-hmm. Because he's good at brokering deals and such. And their last meeting didn't go so well, but now they would be on a joint team trying to find this baby. Mm-hmm. So maybe it would. And then just for shits and giggles, I'm going to throw out that Lancelot is under the hood.
Okay.
Ooh.
See, my whole thing with that is
I have no reason behind it.
You have no reason,
I have no reason behind it. Just I saw a sword and then I was like, Lancelot!
There you go. It could happen.
Miss
it could happen.
Lancelot.
My big prediction is that someone's going to rub the lamp, Aladdin's going to come out, and the one wish is going to be to kill Emma. And that he's the one under the hood.
Is he just saying next week's episode?
Remember, remember which one of you I said.
What's actually happening is Emma says that she wishes she was never the savior.
Yeah.
And then they say, let's make that wish come true.
That's true. But and you guys paused the episode like 5-10 minutes in and told you all this before we even saw the preview for next week.
Yeah, but now it just seems like you're stealing the,
you know what,
the next week on.
What was Emma in that pink dress? Like, what do we think was going on?
She was obviously on drugs.
No, she's not herself.
Road for once upon a time.
She's not herself.
It's the life she would have had if none of this had happened.
Yeah.
She's like her mother going through the forest when she was a kid. Think about it. She's like a Snow White, just older.
That's the thing, because like I have in my notes, like the preview is pretty much A Wonderful Life. Like, and we've seen this storyline happen a lot in a lot
what
of
could
different
have been
movies.
And
yeah,
what,
the could have been if like that never happened. So that kind of goes with my predictions. Like, the Emma who gets stabbed is the one who doesn't know, isn't like our normal Emma. She's the regular Emma. Who's not really a part of the magical world. It could be that Emma that we see who's actually part of the prediction. And everyone's like, what? What's happening? Because they don't really know that Emma who gets stabbed.
Ooh, so they're all kind of standing around like, oh, what's happening? Is that what you're saying, kind of?
Yeah, maybe? It could be.
Well, yeah.
It could be like the non-magical Emma who didn't grow up in this world.
So it's Emma who
is
was never sent.
The one
she was never sent through the portal. She's got a mom and a dad and she's a princess and she's chilling.
Yeah, it's I think.
And likes pink.
It might be that Emma who's the one who's actually getting stabbed in the vision.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay.
I'm about it.
Did you have a prediction, Roxy?
I predicted that the prediction music was going to come.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you miss
that?
She already used her one prediction tonight.
It was obviously the best prediction there was. I mean, it was better than Dakota's prediction, which literally was that he watched the preview.
I feel like this is the second time he's tried to use the preview as his prediction, too.
Like, people who don't watch the previews are probably every week like, wow, he's dead on.
Right? I know what I'm talking about.
I see what you're doing.
And then we just call him out for it.
So clairvoyant.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. As always, please let us know what you guys thought of this week's episode. Let us know what you guys think is going to happen next week on the winter finale.
What?
It's already here, guys.
Yes.
Already here. So
well,
let the...
It's already here, but somebody isn't here.
Oh, yeah. Just let the good people know where they can talk to you, Marissa, since you won't be here for the winter finale.
I'm sorry. Oh. I'll literally be in Vancouver, you guys. So if you're up there, say hi. Yes, but in the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at SerafiniTV, and I'm sorry I'm missing the finale. I'm really sad. Like, I planned out my trip, and I didn't think once would still be on that.
Maybe
that
you'll
time.
Send us, like, a 2-minute reaction out to your phone.
I'll call in. I'll call
that'll
in.
Be fine.
Okay,
that'll
cool.
be fine.
I like it.
Like, if you want me to call in, I'll call in.
There always. Always. What's up, guys? You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube at Mr. Dakota T. Jones.
I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer.
I'm Tiana Hobson, and you can find me at The Tiana Hobson. And make sure you check out all the shows that AfterBuzz TV offers you. We're all over social media at AfterBuzz TV. Thank you guys for tuning in, and happy belated Thanksgiving, and we'll see you guys later.
Turkey. Bye. Turkey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
Stuffing.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.